Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Trig Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this beautiful Monday morning. Today is June 15, 2020, Monday morning here in Los Angeles, California. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this beautiful, beautiful morning. How are you, by the way, out there in Gozo land? By the way, Gozo means joy. And so here at Gozo TV, we like to talk about themes that can really help you be encouraged during these very difficult and really strange times. How was your weekend, by the way? You know, Sunday yesterday was Flag Day here in the United States. And so hopefully you had your American flag or maybe the flag of your country. And obviously for us, people of faith, we also celebrated the Lord's life. And we talked about how Moses, he helped his people through the Red Sea. And obviously right now we all feel like we are drowning in some ways, right? But I'm telling you, God has a way and he will make a way for us. Well, today on the show, I first want to encourage everyone who's watching to share this broadcast. Make sure that you press share on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, and also leave a tag below of the person in your life that would benefit from today's guest. Today's guest is very, very special. She comes through a dear friend of mine who I've known for many years. She actually is coming in from Singapore, and so thank God for technology. Right now in Singapore, you may not believe it, but it's the next day. It's 12 midnight, 12:01, so we're talking about a late night for our guest. But Alvina Ku is our guest today. She is an entrepreneur. She is an educator. She is someone who has a passion for children. And these days, we have a lot of kids that don't know what to do. They're stuck at home. They're learning online, maybe for the first time. Maybe they are children that grew up with parents with low means. And perhaps you as a mom, you are wondering, how can I encourage my child to not get behind with his or her homework? You know, I was reading a statistic before I bring in my guest, that the online learning that's happening right now isn't working because a lot of children come from families of low financial means. And so they don't have the space in their homes to study quietly. They may have 5 or 6 or 7 siblings who, you know, they want to play and they want to go outside and they want to throw rocks or play with dolls or just run around. And so the education system for a lot of young people, children of low means, is challenging. So my guest today is going to help us. So if you are a mom and you would like to learn from my guest, please make sure that you stick around. So I'm going to bring in my guest, my wonderful friend. Her name is Alvina Ku, and she is right here on Gozo TV on this beautiful day. So Alvina, welcome to the show. How are you, by the way?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on the show.
My pleasure. Well, as I said, you are coming to us live from Singapore. What time is it in Singapore right now?
Singapore, it's now 12:05 past midnight, crossing into 16th of June. And I'm really quite excited because this is the first time someone is doing a live Facebook that is everyone else is sleeping in Singapore. But it's exciting for me. Anything new is discovery and it's fun.
I'm glad. Well, I totally agree that this is a very beautiful and important time for us to talk about education. Because as I said, a lot of kids right now, their world is so different because of the coronavirus. But before we get into that, tell me about yourself and tell me a little bit about your family and why you love them so much.
I'm an educator. When I was very young, I love kids so much. And I told myself I want to be a teacher. And my first job was a teacher. And because I come from humble background, I have also difficulties in having the things that I like to have, wishing I have 36 color pencils, a beautiful dress and not pass down dress, and new books, toys. So I make do with what I have. And whenever I'm free, I will gather some neighbors who will also come from humble background, and I will read to them. And when I read to them, I enjoy so much because it was very spontaneous. They were so innocent. And we will do some drama, and we will just don't bother too much about the grammar or the vocabulary or making the sentence correct. We were just having fun, and I was teaching them English. And I did not know that when I was doing that, some of the students, I have already transformed them and from quite a serious grades to the top 10. And the parents would buy me fruits as a reward. And that was my first taste of job satisfaction. I continued doing that for many years. And when my brother has a kid, her name is Alicia Koo, I was so happy because I looked after her from baby until she was around 14. And that was like a full-time nanny. I would go to the bookshop during lunchtime and buy her a book. And I would read to her every night. I love it.
Yeah, Alicia is a great friend of ours, right? And obviously your family and my good friend. So now, continuing with a little bit of your introduction, tell me, what do you do now professionally? Are you a teacher still?
Right now, I'm an educator.
Okay.
From the teaching line, I branched out into travel for about 10 over years. And then I went back to education by accident, because a friend of mine from Thailand approached me and asked me to be the guardian for her children. They were looking for a good guardian, and I was able to fill the gap. She recommended so many customers to me, and I was just so busy. Subsequently, I helped some parents in Batam, Indonesia. They are doctors, and they were very grateful, and the child did very well, and was also enjoying that group of Indonesian students, which I've never experienced, foreign students coming to Singapore. And then I was again very busy with the referral from Indonesian market. And then after that, the business just kept on growing and growing just by referral. And today I'm handling students from 6 to 18 years old. They are from China, from Vietnam, from Myanmar, from Indonesia, from Thailand. They come to Singapore because Singapore is touted as the education center in Asia and has very high standards of facilities, amenities. And they are not too sure how to do the school admission. Where do they stay? Is there a guardian who will look after their kids while they're at home? They want to have peace of mind. And was very fortunate that I was able to solve some of their pain points. And that is how it became an accidental business.
Wow.
And I'm enjoying every bit of it because I nurture them, and I have to face the challenges of handling the parents' expectation, the school requirement, as well as the child's ability versus the child's ambition. So these are challenging times, especially nowadays. The child grow up with computers, and they are not so much into the person-to-person relationship. So I focus more on the character development.
Wow. Now, behind you, I love your sign. It says, Born to Excel. My guess is that you have been through some challenges that have shaped you. Tell me about some of those challenges that have shaped the amazing, excellent woman that you are today.
I think when I look back at the challenges, first is my humble background. A lot of things I like to have, I do not have. So I know that the only thing to get it is through creativity. For example, if I have an hour, I'll try to do as many things as possible. And because I do not, my parents do not have money for tuition, so I will sit beside someone who is really strong, so I don't have to pay for the tuition. And then I would learn, I would teach sports, and I would go for swimming. I would teach myself how to read English, how to do English, listening to song, going to the library to read books. So I try to do things that are free. At the same time, I can upgrade myself. And I would always reflect why my life is different from the rest. So I try to tell myself, no, I have to break this poverty challenge, poverty cycle. And when I got married, there was also a crisis happened to me. My husband passed away, and I have three kids that are going to school. So I know that I have no time to grieve. And I just keep working and came up with more creative ideas and came up with more products to sell, to go to the airport, pick up students, running around to do more tuition, thinking how to raise the 3 kids and let them come. My eldest daughter to complete medical school at King's College London, and my second daughter at the university. And all my mind was how to raise the 3 kids without asking for help. And I was very fortunate because over the years, there are many people that I have helped to shape their lives, especially my customers, and they kept referring customers to me. So I didn't have to advertise. They just kept flowing and flowing and flowing over the last 7 years, and I managed to send them to university. So this is the second challenge. The third challenge that I'm facing right now is I also like to bring education to the world. At this moment, as we talk, there are many children due to the coronavirus and also the many things are happening across the world. There are a lot of children that need a lot of our help. And I think education is the only way that we can break this poverty cycle, besides from giving them the moral support and to tell them everything is possible. And I am a Catholic and I believe that God is powerful. Mm. And I believe in prayer because human hands and human ability, there is a limit. But we have to trust the Lord. Mm. And that has been very effective for me.
Wow. Wow. I just want to give you a congratulations on your strength and how you have been able to overcome those challenges. Tell me about when you first started with education. How was that to start a school, or how difficult was it to start your business? How was it?
I never thought I wanted to do a business. I just wanted to help kids.
Okay.
That was the original intention. And over the years, when I first was in the school, and because I'm quite a hyper person, I always do things very fast and then I get bored easily. So I will spend my time at the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees.
Okay.
At that time, there was a Vietnam War. There was a camp called Hawkins Camp in Sabawang. And there was a children home. These children are either orphans or they lost their parents or the parents perished in the sea. And they are depressed. They are frustrated, they are full of anger, and there's no one to look after them. So I spend my time there at the children's home to give them the support, to love them, to hug them, to they call me mommy, and I'll bring my books and I teach them English to get them ready for the resettlement. And most of them are reconnected to me even when they reached Norway, New Zealand. A lot of them are in America. And they will tell me that they have found a boyfriend, they are in the college, they have found a family who adopted them. And I connected to them for a few years. And this is something that I love so much. And over the years when I was in the education, I bring all these experiences to help the kids. So it was really an accidental business. And then over the years, I find that I can work from home. So this is a message to mothers, to anyone that need help. You can work from home. Look for your passion. Look for something that drives you. Be positive and do well and believe in yourself and always do good, because we may not pass this way again. So I always believe that education is important. It teaches about values. It talks about helping others. And education give you a future, a career, and everything is possible with education. Mm. And that is why up to today, I'm still very passionate about what I'm doing. And at one time, I was also teaching some Nepalese children at the camp in Singapore. And I love diversity and understand their background. And then I do a lot of reflection and I bring these stories as a case study to talk about passion, to talk about ambition, and to talk about their future. So when I relate to the students, it's actually real stories. And I ask them to reflect and we will do a little bit of psychology and analysis.
That's beautiful. It's very important to know the mind of students and their culture. Now, I love how you turn this hobby into an accidental, as you call it, educational business. Now, these days, children have a lot of difficulties learning. There are many different styles of learning, different challenges now. Why do you think children tend to struggle so much in school today?
I think, first of all, as educators, we really must recognize that every child is different.
Okay,
even couples are different, and diversity is good. So for each children that come to us, we always ask what is the profile of the child, the background, the family issue. Once you diagnose, you really can mitigate some of the risks. Because the child is depressed because the parents are going through a divorce, the child is not happy because the parents have no time. Mm-hmm. The child is unhappy because he don't have a toy and somebody has an iPhone 11. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even have a phone. So these are things that we need to understand. Where is the mindset of the child? The profiling is important. Secondly, we need to also understand what is the expectations of the parents and the school. Usually, parents have high expectations. Because I come from a well-to-do family, we are family or professional. I expect you to be an accountant, a businessman. So parents set expectations on their child with a lot of condition. So I think, and this is also another thing that we put pressure on the child. The other thing is I also believe very strongly that you love a person for who he is. Love a child unconditionally and guide them through a very positive, nurturing way. As a friend, even as a sister, not as a mother, and not as a nagging person, you know, because they will reject. And so no matter how good your intentions are, it will the brain cannot accept and you will be closed for a long time. And also because there has to be an improved communications between parents and parents and the child, and parents with the school. And communication is also one challenge that it's not happening, and they close all the communication because of personality, because of being stubborn, because of their pride. So that one must let go and be who you are, because we are human. We don't need to be perfect. I always tell the kids, make mistakes, it's okay, you fall down and you get up. You have to be resilient. And your parents have to accept you. And if certain things you do, they are wrong, you guide them, but in a very soft, tactful way, because they are very sensitive and they are lonely. And the hormone change as they reach puberty age. Every phase is different. And that's why people go into depression. And because the treatment was not done at the early stage, it leads into a problem when they go into adulthood. So I think these are some of my observations. Because I do some counseling to the parents, they are part of my support system, and I need to know the profile and certain things they have to stop to help to mitigate the risk and bring the child into them in a very holistic way, and not to emphasize so much on how many A's, what is the name of your famous university. I think that is not important. Education is about values. It's about teamwork. It's about leadership. It's about courage. It's about sharing, it's about love, it's about confidence. And that to me is education.
Wow.
And to have fun, lots of fun.
Sure.
Be yourself.
Kids love fun. Now, I'm so struck with your values of education, but I know that that's not how most systems work. Most systems, most families, they focus only on academics, on having the best schools so that you can make a lot of money. How do you challenge that system, or maybe not challenge, but how do you change that system?
So for every child that comes to me, we actually achieve this, but we don't go direct way. We go in a very subtle and indirect way through changing the mindset and the character development. So when the child knows that we have to change our environment, so the child actually stay with me, and there's no helper, there's no driver, they have to make their own way. They have to make sure they follow my 6 pages of rules, and they are independent. They go and take the bus by themselves. If they lose their way, then someone will guide them. So all these things must be removed if you want the child to be independent. In today's context, some parents are overly protective. So sometimes the child reaches a certain stage, they are still not very matured. Yeah, they are still reliant. Yeah. So you talk about the challenges is the child must know that he is the change. He's the one that needs to make the change. But he cannot do the change because he's only a child. So that's where educators come in. And in today's international school and a lot of government school, they are making the transformation. They're making the transformation to realize that the classroom needs to be kept at a smaller size. And when the child don't do well, you have to say, it's okay, darling. I think you have tried very hard. It's all right, make a mistake. And education, you have to incorporate music. Mm. Only through the music, through the song, they learn English. And rather than talking every day, you know, about 10 upon 10, upon vocabulary, the right grammar, editing. And this is very stressful for the child. So the child lose concentration, lost interest. And then comes the penalty, the punishment, the scolding, the nagging, the complaints, the comparison, the expectation. So they unconsciously put pressure and pressure, and the child may not be strong child, and he would give up. When he give up, he turned to his strengths. He may turn to drugs, he turned to something that is not very positive, and it may not be the best way. So I think the first thing to do is a character development. Bring in the character so he become independent. Then he become conscious of responsibility. He become conscious of his time management. The results will come in. It's not the other way around. You don't do the result first, and then any means you do it, and by getting even the tutors to help him with the answers, spoon feeding him, forcing him, the results come after the character has been built on value system. And sometimes the child have to take the bitter pill. Sometimes the child has to fall down. Sometimes he fear that people don't want to play with him. He has to learn the hard way too. And that is what we call a character and value system.
Wow. Now, you and I grew up, obviously, in a different era than kids today. I also grew up with music and with an immigrant family here in the U.S., a grandmother who cleaned homes her whole life. But I had a church that supported me. I had music that supported me. Now, parents work a lot because they have to work a lot. Now, technology is everywhere. What can parents do to be involved in the kids' lives, even though they're so busy or everyone now has a phone or a tablet? What can parents do to help with those problems?
Totally agree with you. In today's context, parents are so stressed. The cost of living is so high across the world. Mm-hmm. And also everybody wants to give a little bit more to their kids. Mm-hmm. The ways that parents can build a better bonding with the kid and to spend more time is to look for the new system. They have to engage the child much more, but using technology. Unfortunately, that thing, even much for myself, I'm not an IT savvy person. I have to use technology. Example, in the past, we use a lot of books, right? To teach a child, but the parents have no time. And they're so tired by the time we reach home. They can go in and then they click a song. And the song, there are some lyrics. And you can even talk about value system. So big time, the parents can do a short story, a story. Because the child may not want to always listen to mother's story. It's boring, you know. It's always talking about how hard they work. It's boring. You can go to Google and then Sesame Street, Disney, a short story about values. That is one way. So relieve the mother of the stress. And she may not be very trained in educating the child. Now, the other thing is to keep the child busy. A lot of parents will do the washing, do the mopping, cleaning the house, everything so busy, and the child is just folding his arms waiting to be served. I've been seeing that for the last 20, 30 years after serving the customers. And I told the mom, what are you doing? Why are you unpacking for him? Let him pack himself. Let him get his own water. Can you please trust him and let him take the bus? And the parents say, but I'm worried. I said, what's that to worry? Can you leave it to me? So when we nurture the child, we actually do not allow the parents to interfere. So that's why within a month, you see that the child suddenly matured. Yeah, I think this is one way that the mother can stop worrying and give some trust, independence, empowerment to the child so that he grow up in the real world rather than you protect them until they're 16 years old. And then by the time he goes into a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, he may have, you know, not make the right choice, and also his future may not make the right choice because he's waiting for mommy to help him to make a decision.
That's very true. Very true. Now, I love your statement in something that you wrote. You said education is the vitamin to the child. Tell me, why do you mean by that?
Why education is the vitamin as from the age when the child is born, we put the music for the child to listen. Then we bring the child to the field to play. And when we go up, we teach him that you have to respect people or when you're crossing the road. So this is education. Education does not mean you have to go to a school. The mom is the educator. When he's at home with the helper, he learned to help the helper to clean the house. And the helper said, this is the wrong way. The helper is an educator. When he go and do his sports, he learned about teamwork. He learned about confidence and about leadership. And he mobilized. And he respect his team members. That is education from the coach. And when the teacher is doing the music and he couldn't follow up with the piano, and then that is education. Because I'm a slow learner, but the teacher is very patient. So these are values every day you learning, that is education. You have that vitamin in you, but did you realize it? Did you use it? Did you reflect? We are just too busy chasing the money. The money is just a piece of paper. At the end of it, I always say to the children, everybody die with a coffin. It's the same size. Why we can't, and we can't bring the money up, right? So focus on the value, focus on the friendship, integrity, and find sincerity, and doing it right at the beginning. And that is the vitamin. Even when you are working, education is important because you have to upgrade your skills through training. So that is what I mean by educate. Having the vitamin is important. And you take it all the time.
Now, I also come from a third world country, Central America. And I know that the government has a lot of obstacles that they put in front of people to learn. Economic problems, political problems, corruption. What can we do as people to not give in to the corruption of our governments, of our schools? How do we stay focused to teach kids the right things?
I totally agree with you. Even up to today, this corruption money is rampant. And for myself, I always tell the school, if you require a sum of money from my student, please give a receipt and tell the parents what is this for. And they will say, why did you say that? I say, I'm sorry, I have zero corruption and I don't believe in it. Yeah. So this type of corruption is also a value system. Once we educate all the children about value system, they are the future leaders of the world. They will know it's time to say no. If we want a child to get into the school because of his good grades and his value system, this is the child that will have priority. Not another child because he throw in a $50,000 and he gets priority. I think we have to get it right. Why? The value system, we are the educators, we are the role model, we have to set the example. Yes. And if I can do that to one child, I don't gain my respect from the children. What am I talking about education? I have no right to talk anymore. It's just like you are telling people, you are police, you say don't steal, but you are taking money in a very legal way. We call it legalized stealing. I'm against that, yeah. And I totally agree with you. And it's through education, the younger generation, they become future leader. And the value system, it's a long process, but it's challenging. But you've got to keep on working and things will move. Just like many things are moving, from slavery to racism and everything. It takes time, yes.
Yes,
but there are many people who believe in the truth. And yeah. Respect people. All men are born equal.
Yeah, and you believe that. I know I can see that in our interactions. I love how you believe in unity and in equality. Now, speaking of that, obviously here in the United States, there's a lot of racial tension between blacks and whites and different colors. But we are one people. We are one race, the human race. How can we as educators help society learn that we are one race?
This is actually an educational campaign. It cannot just come from people like us. It has to come from the politicians. It has to come from the university, from the community, from the corporates, from the MNC, people who have power and people who have money. The transformers and the NGOs, the community. It's a global, regional, international effort, and everybody had to participate in it. then we can break that hurdle, because how can we talk about love? How can we talk about respect if we don't even respect a kid of different color? Mm. And the discrimination starts from very young. So this is basically an education campaign that has to be going on and on, from school to corporates to government campaign. And I think as educators, they have a big role to play.
The transformation. Great. Excuse my interrupting. I wanted to ask a question. What does racism or prejudice look like in Singapore?
I don't think there is much in Singapore. We are quite, we are one people, you know, in Singapore. Great.
Okay.
Although we have about 70% Chinese, we live in harmony with the Indians, with the Malays, with the Eurasians, and the people living, working as Singaporeans. Wow. So if you're Americans, you're Americans. I don't think you would like to discriminate and call a person Indonesian, Chinese, or a Malay, Singaporean. We should identify ourselves as a nationality. Singaporeans, Chinese, Taiwanese. Yes. I think it's also a form of respect. Hmm. Yeah, and it starts from very young, about, you know,
wow,
kids in school. That is a step one.
That's wonderful. Well, let's dive into just maybe the last few minutes. Tell me about your particular organization. What's the name of it? And what is it that you offer the students this year?
My organization is called EduCare for You.
Okay.
And what we actually do, we are very focused. We are helping foreign students who want to come to Singapore to gain admission to international schools, government schools. Not all parents have the luxury or have the time to stay with the kids in Singapore, and they stay with us under, we are the guardian, so we house them. We also run summer camp to let them experience life in Singapore, and we also arrange for them intensive tuition, because most of them are not able, English is not their native language. So there is a transition period, and we brush up their English and build the foundation. And when they get into the school, they are able to cope with the subject. So basically, these are the services we offer for foreign students coming to Singapore.
Wow.
And it is so fun because diversity. And I learned a lot from the kids as well because of the cultural differences.
What ages do you normally have?
From 6 to 18, that's our strength. And we have quite a lot from China, from Myanmar, Vietnam. Why I choose this country? Because China is, for me, is homogeneous. And Vietnam, Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, Indonesia's Thai is a heterogeneous market. And because I love history, I love culture, so I enjoy teaching these students and I understand their mindset. And then I use a different method to close the gap, and I find that the challenges are quite different country to country, and expectations are different. The way education in their country and the mindset is, they're all different. It is so interesting. It's like I'm going for class, but having real experiences and using them as case study to do analysis.
Now, maybe this might be a little weird, or I'm putting you on the spot. Do you have a song that you would like to sing that you use with students to help them to learn something, maybe English or a certain skill?
Oh yes, that is a song that I love very much. It's called Mother of Mine.
Would you sing it for us?
Okay. Mother of Mine, because I think I own my life to my parents, and I sing. I think it is horrible, but can I just read the lyrics? Yeah, lyrics, okay. Mother of mine, you gave to me all of my life to do as I please. I own everything I have to you, mother, sweet mother of mine. Yeah, and this is dedicated to all mothers. And unfortunately, there isn't a song about fathers, but mothers or fathers, you are the greatest in the world. For me, without father, mother, there is no Elvina and there is no me. And this is also showing appreciation to my parents. My parents come from China, and they struggled, and that made me very strong. Yeah.
Wow. Well, so I want to pause here for a second. We have lots of comments. We have 8, 9, 10 people here watching us live. Let's see. Shout out to Amy Magdalena. She says, will this be recorded later? Yes, indeed, it will be recorded and will be available here on all the platforms as well as on audio. So thank you for being here, Amy. Also, Amy says, thank you, Alvina, for the work that you do. So, yes. Also, Caroline Cheng says, Alvina is an educator for kids and their parents, too. Wonderful to know. Another comment by Rebecca Lim says, thank you for being such an inspiration. We have a few more comments. A question here for you, Alvina, from Amy Magdalena once again. What age range do you have at EduCare? I think we talked about that, but what was it again?
I am very good with kids because my passion, I love playing with them. So it's 6 to 18.
6 to 18.
Yes. For the 18, it's because they reach puberty. I want to do a bit of counseling and prepare them for university. So at different stage, I have different objectives.
Okay. Another question. This is a fun one from Amy. She says, Alvina, what is your secret for looking so youthful?
Oh, I'm 7. Maybe because I play with kids and just sometimes I go to the Facebook and I saw some parents, they have very good nurturing techniques and I really respect them. I will reply to the parents, you are doing a wonderful job. And these are my role models. I'm learning from them as well from America.
Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful statement. And then another comment here again by Caroline Cheng. She says, Alvina, you educate kids as your own kids. Wow. That's a beautiful comment. You know, and I can attest to that as I said at the beginning, Alicia Ku is a dear friend of mine. I was her pastor for many years and you made an amazing influence in her life. And so I thank you for what you've done in Alicia and in many other people as well. Well, one last question, Alvina. Tell me, is there anything that you would like to share with us that you believe people need to think about, especially this summer, this year, in the middle of all that we're going through?
I think the world is facing more and more challenges. Mm. We have to invest in our children.
Yes.
They spend time with them. Don't have to do too many things. Don't chase after the money. Don't chase after the title and the status. It's never ending. Sometimes we have to do it because of some personal reasons or something, some crisis happened to us. But spend time with your kids, and they are the treasure for the world. This is my message.
Wow, beautiful message, beautiful. Well, Alvina, how can people get a hold of you? If someone from the States wants to come to Singapore, or maybe someone in your area wants to join you, do you have a Facebook page, a web page? How do people get a hold of you?
Yes, they can reach me through EduCare for You, and my website is www.educare4uunited.com.sg, educareforyou.com.sg. I will be most happy to reach out to them, and thank you for such a wonderful opportunity to share this with mothers, with kids, and with educators. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity.
Of course, Alvina, it was a pleasure. And I'm telling you, that song that you sang touched my heart. And I know it touched the hearts of many people. And if that's the kind of education that we're going to see in the future, then I am excited about the future. And I'm excited that you are going to be one of our leaders of a future educational system of love, of peace, and of love. Thank you, Alvina. Once again, I want to say thank you to all of our audience for being here. Make sure that you share this broadcast with your friends. Just simply tag someone, share a link on WhatsApp, on Facebook Messenger. This recording will be available to you immediately after this is over. Facebook records it and it will remain there for the rest of this week and the rest of this month. Also, go to my Facebook page and to my webpage where you can download just the audio on podcast form. In Apple podcast app or an Android or on any of the platforms these days, Stitcher, Spotify, you can listen to this interview, just the audio on your favorite platform. Once again, Alvina, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Have a great rest of the day, everybody, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher. Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.